I begin by saying welcome to some of our brethren who have not been here before. We're glad to see you this morning. The theme we're pursuing is, let us rise up and build. And in that connection, we have considered various elements. I call them building blocks, because as we build, there are various things that go together to complete the edifice. And a critical one, acknowledged by all of us, is the work among the youth. And so, in the next few minutes, I just want to give introductory thoughts on youth work, including the Sunday school. Of course, where I'm standing, I can't see what is here. So if I'm not in sync with the screen, can I move it? Move me. Okay. Including Sunday school. I have some questions on the next slide. And the questions are, who are they? What do they want? What do they need? What are we offering them? And how do we do this? And this is purely by way of introduction. It seems like a strange question, who are they? But I ask that question, and I ask us to turn to the book of Genesis, because there I think we have an answer for that question. So let's go to Genesis chapter 48. And I borrow the expression from the conversation that takes place in that chapter. It is where Jacob is meeting Joseph's sons. Genesis chapter 48. Verse 8. Then Israel saw Joseph's sons and said, who are these? That's where I got my question. Who are these we're talking about as we talk about the youth? And the answer that Joseph gave is helpful to us. It's helpful to me, and I trust to us, because it says in verse 9, and Joseph said to his father, they are my sons whom God has given me in this place. And he said, please bring them to me and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age so that he could not see. Then Joseph brought them near him and he kissed them and embraced them. I employ the expression, brethren, these are my sons whom God has given me in this place, because the children, the young people, I believe we should so regard as the ones whom God has given us in the places where we are. Wherever we are, wherever we are working and we find young people to work with, I suggest we accept them as what God has given to us to work with in those places. And we might have to find ourselves in some rather challenging places, but if those are the places where God has given us the young people, then we must respond to that. So then, who are they? They are the ones whom God has given us. And to have young people to work with, it's a wonderful opportunity. It's a wonderful outreach. The young people's groups, the Sunday school, is a great opportunity for service, for evangelism. So then, as we have identified them, we ask the question, what do they want? Well, they want many things. And I also ask the question, what do they need? Some of the things that they need are some things that they also want, or vice versa. Because they want friendship. They want people to play with. They want people to listen to them. They want to have fun. There are many things that they want. I would suggest that some of the things that they want, they really don't need. But they might not be aware of that. And here is where our intervention will come, because here is where we might have to redirect them. Our methods are important. No doubt we'll discuss some of this later on. But what do they need? Again, I borrow the experience with Moses when he was a baby. There's a lovely expression in Exodus 2, where when Moses was found and Pharaoh's daughter was giving instruction, she said to Miriam, who had engaged the mother of the child, she said, "Take this child and nurse him for me." I wonder if I could borrow that expression. And to say that those whom we have given in the places we are, I believe that God desires us to take them and nurse them for him. And that's part of the mandate of those of us who work with the youth, with the young people, to nurture them, to nurse them for him, as it were. But what do they need? In our chapter, Genesis 48, there are two things that are identified, and I will suggest them. They're in verse 10, two things that they all need. It says in verse 10, at the end of the verse, Joseph brought them near him, and he kissed them and embraced them. He kissed them and embraced them. The two things that Jacob offered, I believe, are two of the things that many of our young people or children need. Jacob accepted them, and he showed affection to them. And I believe there are several of our children, several of our young people, in their own environment, do not enjoy affection, acceptance. And in some of the places where we find them, because they're lacking this in their natural surroundings, they will seek to find affection and acceptance in places that are not desirable. The fallout we see, therefore, is often a consequence of the lack of affection and acceptance in their home, in their own home circle. So then, when we get them, we must understand that our young people need acceptance, they need affection. Now, you know, and I know, that some of those young people are very challenging. We might even call them difficult. And some of us have some other words that we might employ to describe them. But I will not suggest any of those words, because I don't want to remind you of them. What I want to remind us of, though, is that when they come to us, they are the ones whom God has given us in the place. That's how we must receive them. Now, if we are going to receive them like that, if he has given them to us, what he wants us to do is to take them and nurse them for him. So then, that's our mandate. It is clear, it is challenging, it is interesting, but oh, it's rewarding. One of the greatest things is to see a young person with whom you have wrestled some time, prayed often, chastised sometimes, but is to see them emerge and grow up into fine young people. And did you know that they all have that potential? They all have that potential. Often the potential is not realized because we have not taken the time to bring it out. But that's what we're dealing with, the children, our youth. You know, the attitude of the disciples in Mark 10 is instructive, but more instructive is the response of the Lord Jesus. So I'd like us to turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. In Mark's Gospel at chapter 10, I read at verse 13, it says, "Then they brought little children to him, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. When Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased, and said to them, 'Let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God.'" We note the attitude of the disciples. The disciples rebuked those who brought them. Perhaps the disciples thought it was time to get a break. Perhaps they thought the master needs a quiet time. And so the disciples rebuked those who brought them. The Lord Jesus was not pleased with that response. The next verse says, "When Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased." He was not just displeased. He was greatly displeased that the disciples rebuked them. And so I believe that this should inform our attitude to the young people, to the children. Perhaps there are those here who will have better experiences of challenges. In our discussions, we'll pursue them, some of those. But having had the privilege of gathering them, they are brought to us, provided by the Lord in the places where we are, with the intention of being nursed. What is it we're going to give them? We're going to give them affection. We're going to give them a care. We're going to show that they're accepted as well. But we're also going to have to give them some other things. We might have to give them some food. Because sometimes, some of them will come to Sunday school without having anything to eat. It is a good idea, and I know that there in some places it's done, where when they come to Sunday school, those who have the Sunday school in the mornings, this is especially true of them, when they come to Sunday school, they are provided with refreshments before the morning meeting. It was interesting that we do that in Mandeville, and there were two little girls who came for the first time before the Sunday school started. And when they came to me and asked me, "Sir, is it true that you give out food here?" And I said, "Yes, we give food after the Sunday school. We can't feed them before they might leave." But there's a need there. And we must not overlook those needs, brethren. A mother walks into the yard one morning. I had not, never seen her before. Children never came to Sunday school before. But what she came and asked me if I have any clothes. She was not thinking of my clothes because she had two little girls. But that was a need. You're laughing. My clothes would not have worked. My wife's clothes. All right. But there are those real needs. And sometimes we have to deal with those needs before we sit them down in the Bible class. Because, first of all, we might not even get them there if those needs are not met. But when they come, we are to nurse them for the Lord. Having gotten them there, what are we going to do with them? I go to Acts chapter 26. Because there's a verse in Acts 26 which I find very helpful for the youth work, for the camp work, for the Sunday school work, and also for the work in the gospel generally. It's Acts 26. The main reason why I want to get them together in the camp, in the Sunday school, wherever, I believe is outlined for us in verse 18 of that chapter. Here's what it says. It was Paul speaking. And he says in verse 18, why he was called is to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. I believe that verse is full of why we want to have the outreach. We want, first of all, to open their eyes, just that they will understand and see that there's a certain condition in which they find themselves, which is not the best condition, and to let them know that there is a way out and to provide them with a pathway out, to open their eyes. That's a lovely expression. And it is true not only for children, but for adults as well. That is a work in the gospel. And then to redirect them, to turn them from darkness to light. It talks about redirection because many of our children and young people need to be redirected. Some of them are on pathways that they should not pursue, and we need to redirect them. Hence, to turn them from darkness to light is very apt. But from the power of Satan to God. That is our mandate. Those who have been given to us to be nursed, the care is going to involve this as its core event, this verse, I believe. And that the result would be evident, because the result is that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me, in the Lord Jesus. And so I take verse 18 of this chapter as really the mandate of the work we do among the children, the young people, but as I say, among adults as well, so that they would have their eyes opened, so they'll have their understanding enlightened, so that they will be faced with a new direction, a new dynamic in their life, and so that they will now enjoy some new results. They will enjoy the forgiveness of sins, and they will be, their eyes will be opened to the inheritance that they have. If that is the mandate, and that it is, we know the objects with whom we're working. They are the children and young people. Perhaps what I've said so far, that's the easy part. How do we do this? That's the challenge. How do we do this? And because it is the challenge, all of us will contribute to that in our discussion. How we do this. But the first thing we must learn about how we do it is that we must have a heart for them. We must have a heart for our children and young people. A great desire for them. We must be prepared to sacrifice for them. We're going to sacrifice our time. We're going to sacrifice our money. Because we will need to do things for them. We will need to go with them to the store sometimes to buy clothes for them. A tip that there are sometimes when perhaps it's best to go shopping with them rather than giving them the money to go shopping. Now, when I've done that, I said, this is a young man, a teenager, so you don't want him to appear as though he's not shopping. So we go to the store together. I say to him, okay, you go, and because he said never had the pants to come to Sunday school. I say, okay, you go and pick out the pants. and you take them to the counter, and then I'll join you up there. So we did, and he bought the pants. Nice pants. Brand new pants. Good price, actually. And so we shop, and he walks out feeling that he has shopped. Doesn't matter that he did not pay. But we need to understand that our young people also have that feeling of their own worth, and we must not destroy. He came to Sunday school, must be 2 Sundays after. I haven't seen him since. But was it worth it? It was worth it. It is always worth it to make the effort to provide, to remove the excuses. Because, you know, some come with excuses. We need to help them to remove those excuses. We need sometimes to talk to their parents, because some parents will not send the children because they say, we do not know where they're going. We want to know that there are responsible people there to deal with them. We need to do that. So we need to go see the parents and let them know who we are. And it's good if the husband and wife can go together, especially if you're going to invite out a teenage girl. We have to be wise, don't we? And we need that the parents, the young people, develop trust. We must be trustworthy. And those of us engaged in that work, it can become costly in time, in money, because you have to provide transportation back for them. In Jamaica, transportation is expensive. But is it worth it? Yes, because it's a part of the nursing care that we have been asked to do. You see, brethren, as we get the young people together, our only concern cannot be to preach to them. There are some other needs, and we must deal with them in a holistic way. How do we do this? We must be among those who have a burden for the young people. We must see in them the possibility that God can transform them. That He is able to renew them as we patiently share the Word of God with them. So then, the youth work, who are they? These are the people given to us in this place. We must receive them as from God. Why? They have needs. They have wants. The needs are varied. We must seek to supply those needs. But remember, the greatest need that the human being has is the need for salvation. We need to get them so their eyes can be opened, so that they can change direction and enter into a brand new world of much better possibilities. How do we do it? We do it with the help of the Lord. No doubt there are much experiences in this room as to how we might proceed, and so I trust this introduction will get us into a little bit of discussion on the matter of youth work and Sunday school work, some of the challenges we face in different places, some of the solutions we have found, and how the work has really continued. But to use the words in the book of Nehemiah, youth work, Sunday school work, is a great work. It's a great work.
That was a good outline, Brother Kempton, on how to keep our young people and Sunday school work going. I just like to share some ideas that you can probably take to your local assembly, how we keep our Sunday school going and so on. It's a good workshop where we can share our ideas. Let me just highlight some of them. What we do in Mandeville, we have a Sunday school program normally at the end of the year where we get the children involved in saying poems and singing songs and doing skits and so on. And then we give prizes for member verse and attendance and even punctuality and so on. So that's one of the way we do it. Another way also is we normally annually have a Sunday school outing where the parents come also with their children and we go to the beach and we fund all that. The children who comes on a regular basis in attendance and so on, they don't have to pay anything, even to go into the entrance of the park at the beach. We pay everything, but they have to carry the lunch. Another thing that we also have is we have special events where the children write their own poems or using their own initiative. And these special events are like, say, Mother's Day or Father's Day. So they write a poem to their mother or to their father. And incidentally, we are having one this Sunday, May the 8th in Mandeville, and you're all welcome. So don't go back to the Caribbean yet until you come to our Parents' Day. And we have prizes for the parents too. So when you come, you'll get a special prize for that Parents' Day. I won't tell you what the prize is, but you can come. So it involves all our assembly. We have sent letters out. And there will be a special speaker. I think Dr. Daisley from New York will be coming to address the parents on that day. So you are all welcome to come to our Parents' Day this Sunday in Mandeville. And then another thing that we normally do is sometimes we have socials. Socials is where we invite the young people to come. And not that it's not an assembly type thing. We invite them to come to our homes. So sometimes our homes are open up to where we have games and food and then a short message ministry after to them. So these are just some ideas that we have of holding our young people together and our Sunday school. So there are Sunday school programs, there are outings where they go to the beach. They have special events that they are involved in, and sometimes we have socials in Mandeville where we go to different homes and we cater for them and have a time of fun and games in the evenings.
Just like to add one more verse to those, Brother Kempton, that you mentioned. From Psalm 127 and verse 3, maybe some of you have it before you as well. It's one that we always borrow this quote from this verse. It says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord." And this verse means a lot to me personally, since, you know, children are taken to different assemblies I visit for, you know, to ask the Lord's blessing on them. And this is one of the verses that one usually use, you know, in speaking to the parents to bring before them their own responsibilities, you know, toward the children that God has given. As our brother was speaking, the thought came to me that if one is going to work with young people, with children, I think our brother mentioned it, that you must love them. If one have some preconceived thoughts, because you know these children from somewhere else, and you know that they are not the best behaving, and you show them the same attitude. I think, for example, in the classroom setting, it's a different attitude that you have to bring. All right? They come to the assembly. it's important that they see that you have to be that kind of person in the classroom. When they come to the assembly, it must be different. You cannot take the attitude that, you know, I know that child and that child is this and that child is that. You know, it cannot work like that. I've seen it happen, and some children are turned off. Mentioned that we need to care for them, and it's there on the board. We need to care for them, and this comes in different ways. It's a very challenging work, but can be very rewarding if our attitude towards them are right.
The first bullet on the screen follows well on what Ruel said. Provide a place for them where they want to come, because our attitudes to them will sometimes turn them off. They must like to come there because they're going to be accepted. So to provide a place for them where they want to come, the Sunday school, the youth meeting, because they know that they're going to enjoy themselves in these activities. So that is very important, and our attitudes to them will be important. And then something to take away does not mean food. It means something from the scriptures, a thought, an idea, a directive that they would leave with as they come. Because our times with them should not only be for entertainment, there should be something of more lasting value. Perhaps just one thought, a verse perhaps, but something also to take away. The developmental norms I did not go through, but by what I mean by that there are some things that are naturally found in children and young people growing up. They have a competitive spirit. So you can use that. Bible quizzes, games. We can capitalize on their developmental norms. The teenagers, they're looking for ideals. They want to be this and that. And so they begin to be hero worshippers. And if we do not properly direct them, they'll select the wrong heroes. And we just have to be careful about that. And then they're searching for excellence. When we are growing up, we want to be like the best sportsman or the best whatever. That is the search for excellence and acceptance. The care for them, you will notice I have written that in a special way. I will explain that. I see Bonnie White looking at me and laughing because he knows what I have in mind. But don't say it, Bonnie. I will say it at the end of the discussion.
I'm thinking about the aspect where you attend a meeting and you realize that there's no young people, there's no Sunday school work. Is young people and Sunday school work a special kind of ability to do it, or is it a work that anybody can do? And in addition to that, if I realize that there's no work, what can I do? Because I have a conviction, I realize, as Kempton mentioned, that if you see a meeting with the young people there, it's really on the way to the cemetery. And we would like to turn it around. How can we do that?
I would like to add also, in the Sunday school work and the youth work, one thing missing from up there is consistency. We need to be consistent, because at times what frustrates children is that at times they get ready, and because for some reason or the other you cannot make it, you did not pass on the information to someone, and then they do not come. Next Sunday when you go for them, they say, "Lord, I was there already." You ain't come, then they don't come the next Sunday. So I think we need to be consistent in all the youth work.
Yes, in addition to some of the things my brother have mentioned that we do at Sunday school, we have a little system of encouraging them, whereby I don't know how many, don't know if it happened in other places, many years ago, where I, as a boy in Sunday school, we got little tickets with verses on it. And when I came back to the meeting, I introduced that in our Sunday school. And the children were very excited about it. And out of that, we have offered the incentive for attendance at Sunday school. At the camp time, you can exchange your tickets for a camp fee. Yeah. And that has really tremendously helped our, you know, in the Sunday school. And as we bring them to give them what the Lord would require us to give them, we found that a very, very good means of encouraging them to come to Sunday school. Recommend it to some that they can try it too.
To the question that Brother Lodian asked, our questions, it seems to me that not everybody can deal with Sunday school and children. That some might not be able to tolerate them, much less to like them, and to love them. And so that it would be difficult to give such persons, children, to teach and to care for. But one ought to always be before the Lord and try, because in some cases there are nobody else, and such should try. And where there are no Sunday school, what one need to do is go out in the community and invite children, speak to the parents, and invite children and to come to the Sunday school, might be just two or three. Then you might give incentive to those two or three, that if they bring others, then they will get a prize or something. And it can grow like that. That they bring, one bring their friend, the other bring their friend, and you make it exciting. And as our brother Kenroy says, that we are punctual, that we are there. I grew up into a Sunday school where is only one child I remember beat that Sunday school teacher to the Sunday school one morning. Every morning you go, he is there sitting down reading his Bible. And every child come and see him sitting down reading his Bible. And that kind of dedication and punctuality is important in dealing with children.
Just want to comment on the, well, the question is, whose responsibility it is to provide spiritual guidance for the children? The state is responsible to educate the nation. Who is responsible to educate the children? In my judgment, after many years of Sunday school work, it's an extension of the service we provide as part of the family of God. That's the assembly position. The parents are responsible to provide education for the children. So what we do is that we join in, or we tag in with the parents so as to be able to provide that kind of service. So if are going to be engaged in Sunday school work, we have to work along with the parents also as part of the extended education of these children and so on. And sell the value of a spiritual education and this kind of thing. So it's helping to provide that service towards the family, that which is lacking in the family that we're doing. And we have to be very, very skilled in this. The same pattern you have in the day schooling, Head Start, primary, and you keep developing. We have got to have the same structure. And then also, Sunday school curriculum. We must have a curriculum guide, where we are taking these children, and from where, and so on. And we have got to be holistic in our approach in Sunday school. I mean, in teaching Sunday school, I don't do it now. As I told you the other day that I've asked Anton to get a younger person to get into the old, that service and so on. We have got to think about where the child is coming from, where each child is coming from. We look at them together. We look at them as individuals. You look at their physical needs. You look at their need, intellectually. It's holistic. So we don't just provide the spiritual guidance for them.
We have got to look at this child and his environment and all this kind. The parents have to see that you care for them. It's more than that. It's more than that. And sisters who are very close to child training and care are very good Sunday school material, very good Sunday school people to work with. We as brothers may lack in some of that, but we try to extend that care and affection of mothers and so on towards Sunday school life. This is why you find at the Sunday school work, a lot of mothers are involved with this and so on. But when we step up of the Head Start and the primary and we get into more advanced work, brothers may come into that kind of thing. So it's a lot of work, and it's good if we can meet together and put heads together and come up with a plan for Sunday school work.
Now, those of us who are said to work with young people, whether it's Sunday school or young people's work, we should be like magnets, magnetic. But you know, magnets have two poles, a north and a south pole. And if you try to put a north pole to a north pole, what you'll get is repelling. It's going to repel. So we need to be attractive. We need to be like magnets that attract young people. You know, there is a scenario in Acts 20. And I want us to look at that for a minute. In Acts 20, there was a young man. And I would like to paint a picture of this incident there. Because to me, it seems that this young man, and if you look at verse 6 down, Acts 20, here was a young man, and for some reason he had stopped attending the young people's meetings. He had stopped coming to Sunday school. One day, somebody influenced him. He heard that the Apostle Paul was going to be there. And so he came. And to make a point, look where he sat, in the window. And he's making a statement. Not saying a word, but he's making a tremendous picture. Says that the Apostle Paul spoke for a long time. Puts this young man to sleep. And you know, he fell asleep, and from where he sat, he fell backward. He fell on the outside, not on the inside. The Apostle Paul, what he did not continue with what he was preaching, but he stopped. And he addressed the issue. He went to him, and he embraced him. Now, this is what's lacking amongst a lot of us. Are we able to embrace young people? Or are we repulsive? Are we abrasive? The Apostle Paul was able to go to him and to embrace him when everybody thought that this young man was dead. The Apostle Paul said, his life is in him. And he was brought back to the company, and there was rejoicing. So we need to have not only the care, not only the technique, but we need to be attractive so that we can draw young people to the meetings, to the Sunday school, to the young people's group.
I just want to combine a little bit of what has been said and to share a different perspective. I know we're talking of Sunday school, but we're also talking of young people, training of young people. And I believe that we're involved in a little bit of both, where I am involved, but on a more continuous basis. Now, I know earlier Brother Kempton talked about the names that we have for those who are difficult. They students with which we work, they're in that category because they're the ones who have dropped out of school, of the normal school system. And there are other which are thrown into the pot, as it were, because one is trying to portray to them the love of God. You also have the situation where they come to school, some of them are hungry, so they have a problem learning. They come from homes that are dysfunctional, so you have an intrinsic problem. And then you have the normal shenanigans that children display when they're trying to escape from different things. Now, we don't have the answers, but we struggle with what we believe the Lord helps us to use. Now, each day we start the day, and just to give you a background of what I do, we have a school that we run in Guyana and for children who have dropped out of the normal school system. They start at age 15 and a half, which is a little bit older than the ones that we have at Sunday school, because those are in their formative years when you can actually help to mold their character. But we have them when they're already molded and almost beyond flexibility. And so I believe it takes a special type of grace from the Lord, first of all for the teachers, then for the kids. Brother Clark talked about the attitude that the day school teachers bring to the Sunday school. And I know a lot of that is born out of the frustration that the professional teachers experience in the day school. And it is not easy to switch gears and then be nice to the same disgusting children on Sunday. But that's the challenge, I believe, that we have to embrace and we have to face. We have found that one of the challenges that we have from these so-called disgusting children is that they don't have the attention span to concentrate on things for the length of time that is required. So it becomes necessary to have more hands-on things for them to do. But in general, requires a certain amount of mental application. You always have just the hands-on. So here is another difficulty. I take the point that Kempton made, that we need as, and I'm going to use the word educators, because even Sunday school teachers are educators. We're educating them in the things of Christ. Day school teachers are educating them in the things that make for a good life. We need to have, as Brother Christie said, some kind of curriculum development. And I think it is equally applicable in the day school and the Sunday school. But in our case, and I want to make an appeal before I go on, because if there are teachers here who have had this kind of experience and have retired especially, and they have some free time and they want to come to Guyana to help us, there's an open door for you to come and help us. Because the task is great, the laborers are fewer than few, and the pay is not there. So there's very little incentive, but we have to look up for the greater incentive. So I want to say to the Sunday school teachers that there are many ways that we can employ some of these things. I take it one brother said, it was George who talked about the idea of linking the learning of memory verses with the projected aim of going to camp. Now, one of the things that we've recently done in our lads meeting, which is a not Sunday school, but it's a similar kind of arena. 1 year we had as many as 50 students coming during the time. But then it would tail off. And then we would end up with 3 and 4. So in this year we have instituted something similar to what George has talked about. But what we've done, we've taken 7 of the more consistent students and we have put them into a group called the Magnificent 7. And we've given to each of them a care pack, which is one of these little things, you know. Every young person these days has a backpack on his back. Huh? So we've given to them care packs in which you have all different types of goodies, including a New Testament. And each of them now is tasked with the job of being like a leader in the area where they live to encourage other students to come with them to lads meeting. Now, if they bring students and they continue consistently between now and September, there is the incentive of getting a bigger backpack to go to regular school in September. So they have a incentive immediately to bring other students, and they're also eligible to get the same reward come September if they bring students and if they bring them regularly up until September. So I agree, and I think that there are different methods and methodology depending on the kind of field that we're working in to use to attract young people and boys. Now, one of the reasons why we have embraced this approach is especially because one of the most difficult things we have found is to keep young boys in the Sunday school and in the meetings. So most of our meetings are lacking men. But if, by the help of God, we can nurture those same lads through the lads meeting, through the Sunday school, into the assembly, then hopefully, by the grace of God, we will have other young men who can be of help to us. So I would like to thanks for some of the advice which is given from different quarters, and I hope the things that I have said will benefit some also. But I also want
just to add a little of what has been said, and I look around, all of us were children. All of us were small. And sometimes for me personally, when I see some little kids come to the Sunday school, especially the troublemakers, I see myself. I see what I was. I see my behavior. I see my conduct. I see where my attention span was very little. But I see also the patience of those who were exercised to bear with me, to care for me, to love me, to go the extra mile, to do the things that maybe I wouldn't get at home. And I feel that the time we live in today, it is a time where things has changed. Where a long time ago, to go to Sunday school was mandatory. It must be so. Your grandmother say, yes, you're going, whether you like it or not. Put on your socks, put on your shoe and your pants and everything. Sunday school. And where I came from, I went to probably 6 Sunday school on Sunday. You wonder how it's done. In the morning, in the afternoon, you have a few. And it was mandatory where you had those older folks. They maybe not used to go to church or Sunday school, but they make sure you go. And for me now, when we look at the times and the change of the world today, and you see the people that is getting children, much of them is young. And when you go and you pick up the children, The mommy asks the child, you going to Sunday school? No. You want to go? No. He say he ain't want to go. And you really wonder, who is the parent? Who is the mother? Who is the child? But it's the world we live in. And for me, I have developed a kind of authority or bulldozer way. Yes, he going. Put on your clothes and make sure when the bus come back, you're ready. What your foolishness is telling you ain't going anywhere. I mean, it might not work everywhere. But for me, Nevis, it does work. Because when you look at the homes, it is one parent family. It is a mother and she have four kids, three kids. Where is the men? You can't find them. They lime in Monday, Friday, Saturday, they pocket dry. And what I find, dear brethren, I come from a home where is, I mean, I have a father who is alive. My mother, you know, she was practically, as she used to say, in the house. I wear the pants and the dress. I'm the man and the woman. I mean, this is their way to teach you. They were not Christian, but coming to the meeting, it should be a place or created as an atmosphere where kids feel at home there, where they are loved, where when they're at home, they get the hard words, where they get rough up, where they get the dirty language. But when they come at the meeting, you're still roughing them up. You're still chastising them. I mean, some do need it to be brought in line. But where they see there is people who love them, who cares for them. And those that can be fathers in the assembly, mothers in the assembly, sisters, brothers, we have a role to play. Children are not leaders. They are followers. Be good example. What you say, do it too. They don't forget. When you make promises, deliver. Brother Anthony, you say we're going on the mountain, you know. 2 weeks done pass. Remember? Oh, yes. Remember you write it down in the book, you know. So it is a very wonderful work. And I think the question our brother asks, where those that work with children, there is a need to be patient. It is a patient work and to be approachable. Because believe me, children can detect you. You see how he got his face? I won't talk to him. They realize you're not approachable. You're not a person that they want to talk to. So they won't talk to you. I mean, they say I don't smile as often. True. But the reality is this, dear brethren, we need those, as even as the brother says, some have to find their role as before the Lord, even when it comes with working with children. But I must say, it is a great work. It is something personally for me, I love it. I love to do it. I love to go wrong in the community. I mean, and even if this is a small place, I think it's a small place, you know everybody. I mean, the parents, they say, man, listen, man, I ain't seen the children there. What's going on here? Sometimes you pass, you see them pitching marble. You see them outside running up and down. I said, you know, we got a little meeting on Friday, you know. What kind of meeting it be? I said, well, you know, we just gather little children and we just have sing some songs. And you know, the security is very important. Very, very important. So, brethren, may we be encouraged to ask the Lord to find our role that we can able to help the little ones. Remember, you were small too.
And my question, sorry, Brother Larry, you go first. The first item up there, provide a place where they want to come. I think that's very important. We want to be involved with them to the extent that we know them, We know their interests. We know their abilities. You know, down there you got the word competitive. Children are competitive, but they also want to be part of a team. They need a team leader. They need someone to set the example. They need someone to show them how to live. And it's been our privilege to work with children at camp. You know, and it's not just coming to the camp programs, but what did it take to build the camp? To work with them in some physical way. To be with them. It's exciting. Because if they help build something, there is something lasting there. And they say, well, I help build this place. There's ownership. And young people like ownership. They like to be part of something that's lasting. And brethren, we have abilities and opportunities. Here we are at Ocean View. Ocean View didn't just happen to be here. It didn't fall out of the sky as we see it now. There was work involved in getting Ocean View where it is. And children can be part of that program. Bring them up here. If there's a project to be done at Ocean View, and it can be done with volunteer laborers, yeah, it'll take a little longer, but the relationships that are developed there are so important. I look over the room, and I see some who are with us on MAG teams in the Caribbean. These were fun times. But in addition to being fun times, there were assemblies that were built up. St. Lucia, Trinidad, you know, we have close ties with many of you, dear brethren, from those teams. These are fun things, but they are also lasting things. And young people want to be a part of that which is lasting. And we want to set our affections on things above. We aren't so much interested in things down here, not just the physical things, but the uniting of the hearts together for eternal blessings. That's really where we want to be. And the team spirit is so important. Brethren, take the young people with you. Do something together with the young people. Make them feel part of it. Give them ownership. Give them a sense of, you know, we have contributed to this work. And there will be blessing and joy as a result.
In our Sunday school, in our youth meeting, and at camp, we have difficult children. I heard the expression, we need to change gears. When they come into the assembly, when they come to camp, when they are at our youth meeting, because the attitude of the parents and those who are in the world is totally different from what they are expecting to get at camp. How do we do this? Because I think sometimes we fail badly. We have some difficult children, and our approach when they come to the Sunday school and the youth meeting and the camp is almost similar to what they get at home. Could we have some guidance on how to deal with difficult kids?
The challenge of the challenged kids. The challenge of no kids in an area where there's no Sunday school and the curriculum. I understand the behavior of young people, and we're told, how do I deal with my own kids when they are challenging? I balance discipline and love. If the child lives in a home where they're being put down, you are no good, you are bad, you are just like, When they come to us, we cannot reinforce the same negativism. Do I see them as the children whom God has given me? I read many years ago, and I'm sure you have read it too, the missionary sisters in Egypt saw the challenging young men as diamonds in the rough. Do I see this challenged young man as a young man who can be molded for God and see perhaps a Timothy in years to come? What do I do if there is no Sunday school in my area? And Anthony mentioned that we were all young. Well, it was not too long ago that I was young, Anthony. And I remember a missionary sister who lived in my village, about a mile from where the assembly was located. She started a Sunday school under the house of an old sister. We walked there. It was a vision and a challenge to mobilize young children for God. We could not travel, all of us, to the assembly Sunday school. At that age, a Sunday school was started. It's a matter of vision. And I look back later, having learned a chorus, Sunday school, Sunday school, I love Sunday school. And something, something, I will teach my children what my teacher taught me. It resonated in my heart. A widowed, no, a single missionary sister, what she had implanted in my soul as a child has not left me. Shortly after D.L. Moody was saved, I heard he inquired, because he had a need to teach Sunday school. He asked the pastor for a class. He said, bring the children and get their own class and teach. Within 2 weeks, there were more than 60 children in D.L. Moody's class. In a short time, they had to build a bigger place. There were more children than the place could handle. It was the passion to spread the word, to share the word, the willingness to realize that I want to mobilize souls for eternity. As I look back now over 50 years plus, before a lot of teaching methodologies have been introduced, how the brethren in my Sunday school thought about it, I don't know, but it impressed me. Brethren, Sunday school children were the best readers in the community. In kindergarten, we were taught A is for Adam, the first man God made. B is for Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. C for Cain, who killed his brother Abel. By the next class, teachers will take up the lesson now a little more about Adam or Abraham, etc. Before long, nobody knew the Bible as well as brethren Sunday school children. We need to have an idea where we are going. We are at point A. What's my objective? What's my plan? And in teachers' meeting with Sunday school superintendent, we plan where we want to go with these children. where our education is taking us, there must be some organized approach. It helped me. By the grace of God, I have tried, whether in Guyana or in New York, to apply some of the things that my teachers taught me.
In light of Brother Campbell's question with the some kids who are bad behaved, I don't get that problem. I have to say that I don't have no, and I'm not saying this boastfully, but that's not my experience. Anybody who comes know the rules. So if you bad behave, you leave the spirit outside until you leave. Because I believe children want the standards. They want the standards. And I believe it's in the book of Mark when the Lord Jesus came down from the mountain. And the boy was dumb. And he came to his disciples and asked to cast them out. And they couldn't. And when the Lord Jesus came down, he told the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus says, listen, you know, why, where is your faith? And the Lord turned to the Father and says, do you believe I can do this? He says, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. The Lord said, bring him to me. And he cast out the dumb spirit, but it never said in the scriptures it was deaf. A child learned to speak because of love. And a child learned to listen because of authority. When they see authority, a child is going to respond. And when they see love, they are going to speak to you. I have no problems with even with babies in the meeting. If I go up to them and says, you be quiet. Just be quiet and sit down and listen. It have people in our meeting, the kids be even bad and carrying on. And I just say, sit down and don't move. They won't move. So saints, it's all you have to do, you have to use the authority that God has given to you. That's what happened to us. All this pampering stuff. Listen, brethren, I don't want to read no psychology book because it will infiltrate my mind. All I want to read, the scripture give us authority. And at times we are scared to use it. Brethren, use the authority God has given to us. But there's two things must go. Authority and love.
No, I just wanted to say in less than a half minute,
Brother Brian is very special, and even with little children that are behaving naughty with parents, he can even go across and bring them, they sit beside him. But there's a challenge, I think, that was said by Brother Ruel, has not been our experience, that our behavior in the schools as teachers differ from our behavior in the Sunday schools. I have found that the teachers that I have in the assemblies, they are attractive both in the schools as well as in the Sunday schools. And out of their attractiveness in the schools, they have been able to bring them to the Sunday school and camp. There's a consistency in both places. I don't see the challenge he sees.
Regarding children or children with the extreme, the obstreperous type behaviors, things that are very, I worked in behavior sciences for most of my career. I found one of the methods of dealing with those types of behavior, and it's scriptural, is overcorrection. Now, this has to be done in a loving, caring way, but it has to be some consistent correction, the same type of correction each time. And it adds structure to the kid's repertoire, you know, and his manner of life and all. And he adds his structure, and he understands it. It's just that, see, how many of us have been overcorrected by the Lord? You know, how many times do we get corrected for the same thing? You know, unfortunately that happens. And when there is a behavior like that, you have to implement some type of a system that, you know, he is going to get it down the road. He's going to develop that discipline in his life, you know, in caring.
Unlike Brian, in Jamaica, and I know some places in USA, you have difficult children. And you talk and you talk and you pray and you try to help them and they still become difficult. There are many who have passed through Ocean View, and I met one recently, maybe about 10 years ago, that I had to take home because of his bad behavior. And he's maybe about 23 years old now, and he said to me recently, Uncle Alvin, what was wrong with me? Why is it I was so disgusted? You know, and I think there are children who just go through a process where they just, and because of their upbringing, they are rebellious, they are difficult to get along with, they become repulsive. And when they come to camp, and I look back and I say, did I do the right thing for that child? He still calls me Uncle Alvin, and I think he asked me if Uncle Milton is dead yet. But I say this to remind us, in spite of their difficulties, in spite of what is happening to them, we need to work with them. And even if we have to take them home, when they get home, keep in contact with them. Because I was able to go to the parents, talk with them after the camp. I have developed a very good relationship with the mother now by just finding out how he's doing, and I get to know the family better. There's another one who I met recently, and time. Thank you very, very much, Brother Christie. Anyway, what I want to say is that we don't give up on them. And even though they might be rebellious, continue to work with them, because there are some underlying problem which maybe we don't know at camp and at the Sunday.
Of course, I always take 10 seconds. But I really wanted to change our perspective, because the thing is that we have to realize something, you know, below the sun, children, we categorize them. And our perspective must go above that. Below the sun, they're bad, they're good behavior and all this kind of stuff. But let's go above the sun. It's not a burden, it's an opportunity to grab them before the world gets them and to realize they're just sinners. And just as we have a passion to win the lost who are older, we must have that passion as well for the children. It's a wonderful opportunity to point them to Christ. Think about it. We get more trouble with the adults. We get less trouble with the children if we look at them as just sinners. They're very receptive.
I promise to explain care, and I've written it here. I have developed a little statement here. The C is carry. The A, assist. The R, restore, and the E, encourage. And I believe that this will help us in our attitudes and approach to them. We did not mention, and I'll mention it now before I close, that there are some in their everyday activities, we must also show an interest. We must try to find out how they're doing at school. If they experience success in their exams, congratulate them. Tell them. Do it in the assembly so that they know that they're recognized. Some of them are interested in sports. Discuss some of these things with them so they realize that there's a personal interest in their all-round development. Carry them, assist them, restore those who need that, and encourage them. Let's bow our heads, please.